on this Pentecost Sunday to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. Here at Trinity UMC, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. We also invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship service at 10 a.m. You can also watch our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. And now we have a special treat, our own Jim and Mark, together as proof.
Good morning. Those that are in the sanctuary and those that are listening by radio, we are thrilled to be here to celebrate Pentecost Sunday. So I get myself all hooked up here. This, to some, is the birthday of the church because the Holy Spirit came rushing in. Am I right, Pastor Angel?
Yes.
Okay.
It's also my favorite holiday, Jimmy.
It's Pastor Angel's favorite holiday of the year. And she's probably going to tell you about that in a little bit. But Mark, am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Mark and I have selected a couple of songs here that speak right to Pentecost Sunday.
Yep.
But we firmly believe that no matter what Sunday it is, the Spirit of the living God is always with us.
Absolutely.
To support us and encourage us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Here we go.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Help me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
And then when you do that time and again, you get something like this, don't you, Mark?
Absolutely.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know that they're the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for those blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
Today's scripture comes from John chapter 14, verses 8 through 17 and 25 through 27, followed by our sermon, The Forgotten Person of the Trinity, by Pastor Angel Armstrong. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. God's word to God's people.
Thanks be to God. Francis Chan had a Bible study called The Forgotten God. Now, we might think that not recognizing the third person of the Trinity is a bit of an overstatement, but in reality, it is an understatement. Francis Chan is a marvelous preacher. He uses a lot of scripture and a lot of storytelling, just my kind of preaching. And he reminds us of the importance of the Holy Spirit and all that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He is the third person of the Trinity, a distinct personality, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is tragically neglected in our country and for all practical purposes, forgotten. We here in America cannot confidently say that we have experienced the presence or the action of the Holy Spirit in this past year. And that is beyond sad. I want to tell you a story about a little girl named Ellie Ann. She was absolutely adorable. She lived in a small town right next to a cemetery. And she had seen hundreds of funerals from her backyard swinging back and forth. She had watched all these funerals. Her mama came out and watched as she was burying one of her baby dolls, and she stood there and she reverently proclaimed, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and in the Holy Ghost." A lot of people, that's all they know about the Holy Spirit, is in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the Holy Ghost. And that is their entire relationship with the Holy Ghost. That is beyond sad. The Holy Spirit is my best friend. And Jimmy was 100% correct. I am going to preach about Pentecost to a very small extent. More, I am going to preach about the Holy Spirit and all that the Holy Spirit does for us. In this particular sermon, there will not be near as many stories. There will be an awful lot of scripture. The Holy Spirit fills us with power. Has anybody ever felt that tremendous power of the Holy Spirit rising up in them? If you have not, I seriously invite you to pray for it, to come and visit me, to come to the altar at the end of this message, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 tells us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Greek word for power is dunamis. We derive our words dynamite, dynamo, and dynamic from this word. And Jesus is saying to us, We shall receive a sort of power that we just cannot imagine, that we cannot describe, and that the Holy Spirit will flow through us into others. Let's take Peter, for example. Before the day of Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit entered him, Peter would say just the right words. He would stand there and say, I will follow you till the end of the earth, Master. I will follow you to death. He was bold. He was impetuous. He cut off the ear of the soldier coming after Christ Jesus. Yet Jesus Christ told him, you will deny me three times before the cock crows. Before we get too harsh on Peter, let us remember there have only been two people that I have read about that have been sifted by Satan with God's permission, Job and Peter. It's just two sentences. It says, Peter, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you, but know that I have prayed for you. And when, not if, when you turn back, encourage your brothers and sisters. Christ knew that the church would be built upon the rock, upon the solid foundation of Simon Peter. But not until the Holy Spirit came upon him and gave him power to walk that out. Before that, Peter was bold. Peter was impetuous. Peter said all the right words, made all the promises, but he could not live them out. And you know what? I can't blame him. After watching Christ die upon the cross, after watching that horrific scene, knowing what was going to happen, he ran before that. There were many people terrified. He knew that he did not want to be claimed as one of the disciples. He did not want to even be thought of as a friend of Christ. And on that day of Pentecost, he threw open the doors of the upper room. Filled with the Holy Ghost, he proclaimed Jesus Christ's mission and challenged those who were listening to fulfill the mission of Christ Jesus. Peter was indeed filled with power. You may be saying to yourself, I've never felt that kind of power. I have. But only when it was truly needed. I can remember going to the hospital as a chaplain. There was a woman standing before me. Her third son, her first two, had been killed. One in the service, one in a terrible accident. Her third son was pinned against the wall of a garage by a truck of somebody he knew, from a terrible marital battle gone wrong. She stood in front of me and she said, Chaplain, God wouldn't take my only boy, my last boy, my third son, would he? And I just looked at her, put my arms around her, and prayed with her. Finally, after hours of waiting, the doctor came along and she was standing outside of the little room they had put us in. And she would not budge. He tried to urge her into the room and she would not budge. You tell me about my son. He told her that he had died. She grabbed a hold of me and she made her way down my body, hands clinging to my clothing, until she laid upon the floor. And you could see the doctor looking at the nurse, move her out of the way, move her out of the way. I had no choice. The only thing I could do was get down on the floor with her and look her eye to eye and wrap my arms around her. There were no words that could be said. By the end of that night, she looked at me and she said, "Thank you. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. I think I can go on." That is what the Holy Spirit does. He rises up in us when somebody else needs it. My car is sitting right out here. It has no power in it right now. I can get out there. I can turn the key on and sit there and listen to the radio and feel the air blow on my face. And yet, it wouldn't have much power. I could drive down the street a bit. Still, not much power. But let me get out onto Tipton. Better yet, let me get out onto 465, where I need to go at least 70 miles an hour, if not 80, to keep up with everything. And the power is there when it is needed. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. You may not feel the power, but when that person across from you truly needs it, when somebody in your family truly needs it, when you truly need it, that power will indeed be there. Slide 10, please. In John 16, 7, 8, it talks about another amazing attribute of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit points out sin to us. I've heard at least once a month you should go to church and feel your toes stepped upon. You should feel convicted, not condemned. That's the enemy. Convicted, stirred to change, stirred to do better, stirred to look towards the Holy Spirit to help you to become more like Christ Jesus. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness. In other words, the Holy Spirit will point out right and wrong in our lives. Consider an experiment, will you? Imagine that you go into a room filled with light. There is sun streaming through the windows. There are lights on. And it looks like there cannot possibly be more light in that room. But there are shadows. There are shadows cast by the tables, by the chairs, by the lamps. What would happen if you moved all of those objects out of that room? Would you have more light? No. But the room would have more light. The Holy Spirit is like that. When the Holy Spirit enters you, he's not cheap, he's not chintzy. He doesn't enter with one arm and one leg. A couple of years later, the head entering. No, he enters completely. He is a whole person. He enters into you completely. However, we do not completely give ourselves to him. We put a hand in. We put a foot in. Sometimes we get as far as putting the head in. But it takes most of us a good while to put the heart in and to truly start living in his character. The question is not, does the believer have the Holy Spirit? The question is, does the Holy Spirit have the believer? Bit by bit, day by day, the more you read God's word, the more you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. He begins to point out our sins one at a time. Maybe he begins with our pride, encouraging us to confess it and in God's power put it aside. Then maybe he points out our unforgiveness, our bitterness, our hatred, our prejudices. And he secures us. He allows us to feel loved enough to confess these issues, to lift them up to him so that he may take them from us. Then he really starts getting personal. He starts pointing out lust, poor financial management, disrespect for authority, impatience. Ouch! Ouch! Am I stepping on anybody else's toes other than my own? He does indeed step on our toes and convince us to right living. The key principle to remember here is that you, the believer, first of all, get the Holy Spirit. You get all of him that you're ever going to get. And then, little by little, day by day, right choice by right choice, he gets more and more and more of you. The Holy Spirit is also our teacher. And I pray continually, keep me teachable. Keep me teachable. In John 16, 12 through 13, Jesus further explained the Holy Spirit's work in the Christian's life. Standing there before the 12 disciples, he said to them, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all of the truth. Imagine that. 12 people who had given up their lives completely, walked away from their families, walked away from their businesses, walked away from everything they knew to follow him wholeheartedly. And he's telling them, I have more to say to you, but you can't handle it right yet. I don't know about you, but I'd be a little hurt about that. I've given up everything. I've given my entire life to follow you. But our God knows what we can handle and what we cannot handle. And he is saying, you are not ready to hear all of my truth. Bit by bit, decision by decision, prayer by prayer, scripture by scripture, I will prepare you to receive more and more of the Holy Spirit so that he might bring forth the gifts in you. The point is this. Jesus Christ has brought us more salvation than any of us can begin to imagine. And the task of the Holy Spirit is to teach us more and more. All that we are able to have and do in Christ Jesus. You know, Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 13, tells us we can do all things in Christ. What that looked like 30 years ago to me and what that looks like today is completely different. He still gave me the same empowerment, but I wasn't quite ready for some of the things that he was calling me to do. Fortunately, he does indeed prepare us. He removes our weaknesses and puts in us his strength so that we can boldly say, I want to be weak because I want to receive your strength in recovery. They have a saying, please remove from me my defects of character. Every meeting I go to, whenever it's read, whether verbally out loud or in my heart and spirit, I say, yes, yes, pick me. For years I used to think, remove this and remove that. We don't get to pick. He removes from us those weaknesses, those defects of character that stand in our way of serving Him and serving one another. Because He wants to prepare us to be in the image of Christ Jesus. 12, please. Yet another exciting work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life is the talents and spiritual gifts that He gives us. 1 Peter 4:10 teaches, as each has received a gift, employ it for one another. The gifts, the spiritual gifts that He gave you, the natural talents that He gave you. The natural talents are things like singing. The spiritual gifts are a bit different. He did not give those to you just for you. He gave those to you so that don't make her sing. I do envy people who can get, I saw it in their faces. Everybody knows I can't sing. People run screaming. I saw it. Okay. I do make a joyful noise. Don't I, D? Thankfully, Mark and Troy turned my mic off. And Cassie, we miss you when you're not here. We need somebody to help lead us in worship. You will find the gifts of the Spirit listed in places like 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. They become more clear as we begin to live in them. They are gifts for ministry, like administration, showing mercy, teaching, evangelism, helping, discernment, knowledge, prayer, healing, encouragement, and so much more. James Oglethorpe, the founder of the state of Georgia, was a Christian involved in a small group Bible study in London. A friend's senseless death in a poor, run-down, overcrowded English debtor's prison caused him to run for parliament and win and launch a panel to reform. He began to take people from England who had been arrested and put in jail for things like stealing bread. And he took them with him over to the state of Georgia. And each one had a task. They farmed. They fished. They each used their natural talents. And as they grew in the Lord, they used their spiritual gifts. One might use mercy. One might use prayer. And one might use healing. But they used the gifts that God gave them to better the community that they're in. 14, please. And now the final mission of the Holy Spirit in each and every believer's life. It is to shape our moral character. And when we know it's happening is when we bear fruit. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, Sandy. I don't have it. She does. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit is moral character. Many ask, if I open myself up to the power of the Holy Ghost, if I let Him point out my sins, teach me, and cause me to become useful in His church, what will happen to me? He might send me to Africa. We tend to get all scared of these big things. Really, most of the time, He's going to call you to be a greeter. He's going to call you to come and help at the community meal and to serve others. He's going to call you to go and visit in the nursing home. Some of us, He may call to the pulpit. Some of us, He may call to Africa. But if He does, He will equip and empower you to do what He has called you to do. A few years ago, an American magazine polled its readers asking, what do you want most out of life? You tell me, what do you want most out of life? Come on, this is a participatory report. You either talk or I'm up here forever. Yes. Peace. Help. The top three were happiness, peace, and love. But it was made clear in this poll that the only way you receive all of those things is by serving others, by being in community with others. You cannot be isolated and have love, happiness, and peace. Would you like to receive the Holy Spirit? I'm hoping that you do. He's already been given to you the minute that you gave your life to Christ Jesus. However, some of us hold back giving ourselves to Him. We're afraid He's going to make us talk in tongues or go to Africa or stand up and squawk like a chicken or something. You may not feel anything right away. You may not understand what you do feel. But nevertheless, He will come upon you. He will give you power. He will help you to live into all that He has for you. Imagine a pipe, a metal pipe, big pipe, placed down in a river. It is open on both ends. It is as full as it can possibly be with water. But the water does not flow because it is not in alignment with the flow of the river. It's like that in our lives. If you're not feeling anything, if you're not feeling the Spirit move in your life, if you're not feeling something when you pray, whether His answer is yes, no, maybe, or wait, it's because you're not in alignment with Him. Take that same pipe and turn it this way and place it in the water, and that water will flow freely back and forth through that pipe. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to flow in your life, I invite you to come to the altar today. During our song of response, I'm going to pray this prayer of transformation over all of your lives. Spirit of God, fall afresh on us. Let your refining fire bring impurities to the surface so that they might be scooped away. And who we are in you will shine to its fullest. Forgive us for the ways that we allow our diversity to be a reason for divisiveness and exclusion rather than a celebration of your wondrous works in us. Enable us to overcome and eradicate the barriers that we as humans create. Awaken in us a desire to know you and to share spaces with neighbor and with enemy. Beloved of God, you have not received a spirit of fear, divisiveness, or hate. Receive the true gift of God, the spirit of adoption that binds us together, one, uniquely connected, called, committed, distinct, unified. The Spirit of God delights in you as an individual. Let Him enter you and fully give yourself to Him.